Our God is always good. He is always good. He is always on time. And He loves us so much. That is why we can see ourselves in His image. We can see ourselves in His image. So this very morning, we are here to continue the conversation we began last week. We came to understand that it is very important as a Christian, without the power of God, that is Holy Spirit, your Christian life is nothing to speak about. There's no strength in your Christian life. And whatever thing you do, the scripture calls it, you know, we are like objects of wrath before God. So it is very, very important for us to get to know that. If indeed we need the Holy Spirit, then we shall allow Him to lead us. To lead us. Jesus Christ knew that. That is why He said, please, let me go. It is for your advantage that I go. That if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will give you power, strength. He will enlighten you to understand everything I've taught you. He will be your teacher. And that is why we need Him. So we continue with the conversation, being led by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And our theme scripture, or the scripture we leading us today is still the same as it was last week. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let us bow down our head and pray. Father, we are so much grateful. We thank You for this great opportunity to have in sitting at Your feet. We surrender our hearts into Your hands. Teach us, guide us, revive us, reform us, and create in us the thirst and quest for Your Spirit, that we will always walk with Him, for Him to lead and guide us. Have Your way this morning. I commit myself also into Your hands, Father. May I not speak of my understanding. Let Your perfect will be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Now, the subtitle that I've given today is Our Sure Hope for Intimacy with God the Father. Our sure hope. The Holy Spirit is our sure hope for intimacy with the Father. So let us go back, reflect on what we did last week. Last week we asked ourselves, why is there a need for us to be led by the Holy Spirit? So we try to, you know, walk through or navigate through with three different questions. And the first one was, who are you as you sit here? What is your mandate here on earth? And then finally, how can you fulfill this mandate? That was the question that led us in our navigating through why we needed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, we came to understand that, yes, indeed, as the scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, before I formed you, I knew you. So God knew you before even you became a fetus to be formed into your mother's womb for you to develop. And then one day your mother gave birth to you and you had the hand in there. So we are all spiritual beings. We bear God's image. We call it imago Dei, God's imago Dei. We bear God's image. And the rightful image of God is Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews says He is the exact imprint of God. And we are shadows of Jesus Christ. So in the book of Acts, in Antioch, when the people saw the Christians walking together, they said, wow, they are Christians. And today we all say Christians. Why? Because we bear Christ's image. And He reflects through us. So first of all, we need to know that we are spirit beings. So as a spirit, remember, at the time of creation, when did God did all the created things? Everything God created, He said, it was good. Amen. It was good. It was good. It was only after the creation of humans, God said, it's very good. So, you were the climax of God's creation. But remember, God created our spirit very clean, but because of sin, we got shattered. That image of God in us got shattered because of sin. So as a result of that, we could not have that good relationship with God. So Christ came to bring us back to our Father. Christ has come to restore that image that was broken because of sin. And now we can have a relationship with the Father. So remember, you are a spirit being. And as a spirit being, you have a soul. You have a soul. You have the intellect. You have your wisdom. You have your will. You have emotions that guides you in your decision making. And then also with the soul, with the spirit, you live in a body. A body. So Paul called it, you know, the tent. The tent, the physical tent, we live in the body. And that is what we use to glorify God, work with God, come together, meet one another. All because of what God has done in our lives. But let's remember, God wants to restore his relationship with us. Continue to have a communion with us. But remember, he communicates with us through our spirit. And that is why Jesus Christ said, we need the Holy Spirit, because it's he who brings us closer to the Father. It is he is going to convict us of sin. Even if we don't know that we are sinful, it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin and brings us to Christ Jesus, who gives us the salvation of our soul. So it is very important. And not only that, when the Spirit comes, he gives us empowerment. And what is this empowerment? Empowerment, we're talking about bearing fruit. As a Christian, you need to bear fruit. You have to let the Christ, the shadow, the glory of Christ be seen through you. And you can't do it. Romans says we should offer our bodies as living sacrifice unto God. How do you offer your body as a living sacrifice? By your nature, you are nothing. How do you do that? It takes the Spirit of God who lives Christ in us, so that we can offer our bodies as living sacrifice. And not only that, bearing fruit, we are supposed to also exhibit, manifest the spirit power, the talent, the gift that he gives us. Many of us could not even stand in public, but it takes the grace of God, the strength of the Holy Spirit, for you to be able to even talk to people, talk to somebody. Some of us are voices are very bad. But somebody comes here, begins to sing. You could see that there's a difference. Or a gift that he gives. So last week, this was where we came to. That really, as spirit beings, we need the Holy Spirit. So today, we are walking forward. We're asking ourselves. We need to be guided. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So how do we encounter the Holy Spirit? So the first question that is going to help us to navigate through today's, you know, conversation is, how can we receive the Holy Spirit? How can we receive the Holy Spirit? And then two, what is the impact of his presence in our life when he comes? What difference does it make? And then thirdly, how can we be led by him? How can we be led by him? So these three questions are going to help us to navigate through, you know, our understanding and then conversation on why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with the first one. How can we receive the Holy Spirit? It is a must. As a Christian, we need the Holy Spirit. And we can never receive, we can never get hold of the Holy Spirit. We can never have him in our heart if we do not repent. If you don't repent, there's no way. Let's ask ourselves. Let's be frank to ourselves. If somebody, you are very thirsty, and somebody offers you a cup of water, and this cup of water is so dirty, you saw that person picking that cup from the gutter, from the refuse bin, and fetch water for you, and gives to you to drink. Let's be frank to ourselves. Will you drink? Please, will you drink? You never drink. And the scripture says, Without the grace of God, our goodness is like a filthy rag before God. And without the grace of God, the mercies of God, we are called objects of wrath before God. That is who we are. So how do you expect God to put His Spirit in such a place? So the first point of call of getting the Holy Spirit is to repent through what we call the born-again experience. And Jesus Christ had this conversation with Nicodemus. He said, Jesus answered, I assured you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, that is sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of heaven. It is not possible to enter into God's kingdom if you are not born again. And in the book of Acts, that very moment that the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples, Peter stood up to speak about what has happened, because people wanted to know, why is this happening? Why is it that we can hear you guys speaking? I am from this place. I can hear you speaking in my own language. But you guys, you're from Galilee. How come? And he explained to them. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? What should we do? Now we know that we are at fault. What can we do? And Peter said something. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive. Repent, be baptized. And you will receive. So the repentance, our repentance, brings us to God and then opens us up for we to receive His Spirit. So I have a long read here, John 1, 12 to 13. It says, but to as many did receive and welcome Him, He gave the right, that is the authority, the privilege, to become children of God. That is to those who believe or they trusted, they had, they rely on His name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of God. That is spiritually. It is God who gives birth. We're talking about this rebirth. Because Nicodemus also had a problem, the rebirth. He was thinking, should I go back to my mom's womb for me to be born again? And Jesus said, no, you are missing it. But you need to be born by the Father. You need to be born by the Spirit. But let's, you know, in the terms of repentance, let's actually see how it resonates, how it began in the scriptures. As most especially, I want us to concentrate in the New Testament. In the New Testament, that because last week we looked at the Old Testament, and God saw the need that a day is coming that He is going to pour His Spirit upon us. We read from the book of Joel. It was a prophecy that was given to us. Now here we're looking at repentance. That the reason the principle of first mention or first occurrence, and I'm reading from Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And I read, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What was he saying? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus Christ, when he began his ministry, in the book of Matthew chapter 4:17, he repeated the same words. He did not take any out. He also said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this repentance that has been mentioned in the New Testament, what really did it mean? What is the meaning of this repentance that the scripture is talking about? The Greek word is metanoia. You see, it implies to think differently. Yes, you were on a path, but there should be a different thought. That's entirely different from what you were thinking, what you were engaged in. And it involves moral aspect of our thinking and in our decision making that comes through our mind, which is very, very important. So you go back to the book of Luke chapter 13 verse 3, and this was what Christ said. He said, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, that is change your mind, you change your thinking, your way of doing things, you will all likewise perish. Because there were some people who were talking about a certain group of people who died in the days of Sodom, Gomorrah, and so on and so forth. And people who, you know, the walls broke down on them. And Jesus, it's not because you are better than them. But I'm telling you something. If you don't repent, all of you, just as they perish, you're going to be just like that. So repentance is very, very important. And that is why Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized. And in exchange, God has something for you. Because he knows that you can't do it. And repentance, when we talk about repentance, what are we repenting from? The book of John chapter 17 verse 3 gives us, you know, a good example, good knowledge of what we need to return or turn to. And Jesus Christ was speaking here, he said, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So repentance, you asking yourself, what is your thought about God? What is your thought about Jesus Christ? That is what he's calling us to do. And likewise, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 21, Apostle Paul was saying something here. He says, I solemnly testify to both Jews and Greeks, urging them to turn in repentance to God and to have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for salvation. So repentance is our attitude, your thought, your heart towards God. How do you think about God? Do you believe him as the creator of all things? The giver of all perfect things in this world? Or, as some people think, I'm afraid God will not give me the best of things. I'm afraid of God. Yes, if you are a sinner, you should be afraid of him. But if you are a child of God, your fear should bring you in reverence, honoring his name, because you know your Father, that he's holy. So you don't bring anything that contaminates him. What is repentance? Repentance is accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the perfect sacrifice. The scripture calls it propitiation. He was in exchange for our sins. Have you received Christ as your Savior, whose blood was spilled for you, that you can have access before God, that all your sins had been forgiven in him? Not some, but all. Do you believe in that? Do you believe in the power of the blood of Jesus that makes everything new and clean? That is what we're talking about. Repentance is an act of obedience to the teachings, that is the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you here as a selective Christian? Do you love some part of the scriptures? You don't love some part, other part of the scriptures. You are a selective Christian. And then also we talk about, even in our homes, our mothers, they know what is best for us, the best food that is good for our health. So they add the vegetables, the veggie, meat, and so on and so forth together. But as children, what do? We sometimes put the vegetables somewhere, and then we want to consume the meat. That is where our focus is. And there are some children, they don't like eating meat. They just want to eat vegetables. Somebody wants carbohydrate. I just want to eat the rice. I want to fill up. But they put everything together for us. That is why God has given us everything in Scripture. For what? So that the child of God will be righteous, will walk in righteousness, in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding before the Father. So it is very important. And when we've changed our mindset towards God, our heart towards Christ, what happens? Our Father, in return, in exchange, gives us what? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ made something. He gave us a story here in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, 43, 45. He says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the wilderness, an arid area, looking for a place to settle. But when it doesn't have any place, it comes back. He said, let me go back and see where I left. Is it still empty? When it comes and finds the place empty, unoccupied, he doesn't stay alone. He goes back to bring seven more stronger spirits to stay with him because he doesn't want to leave again. When the Holy Spirit comes to our heart, he comes in, he cleans everything. He makes our life stable. He puts our house in order. Every chaotic thing, he begins to put it. That is why the scripture says, whosoever comes in Christ, you're a new creation. A new creation. Now, everything that, useless life, chaotic life, everything comes to order. And it is evidential in the life of those who have seen Christ. Their friends tell them, oh yeah, you are different. Because even the way you speak, the way you dress, the way you get engaged with people is different. That is what the Holy Spirit does. God knows that we need the Spirit to guide us. And he's saying, to get hold of the Holy Spirit, we need to repent. It is very important. This is not negotiable. We can't negotiate. There are people who sit in the presence of God, they negotiate. Yeah, I want to repent, but I don't believe it. This one, I no. If Jesus Christ, because when you read the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if we believe with our heart, what are you believing with our heart for? You believe with our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And why is he Lord? He is Lord over your life. You give up that ownership. When we say dying to self, giving up that ownership of you controlling everything in your life, you give it to him, you hand it to him. He is now Lord over your life. And being Lord over your life, he detects the pace in your life, in your saying. He has the upper hand. He has a better say in your life. So, you live under him, under his commands. So one part of his command for us to live, repent and be baptized. Somebody will say, yeah, but the thief who was on the cross, he never got baptized, but he went to heaven. Let me tell something. You have a point, okay? You have a point. But let me tell something. The thief on the cross, he did not wait to see Christ. When Christ said, now all authority had been given to me, so go into the nation, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Was the thief there? Was the thief there? No, he wasn't there. He had gone already. So please, we can't sit before God and begin to create excuses for ourselves simply because we just want to gratify our own flesh. And that is why he's calling us. He is God. He is Lord over our lives. We are servants. And that is why the scripture says, even when you've done everything, you sing, you can sing well, you can talk, you talk well. Even when you finish, the scripture says, you should say, I'm unworthy servant. I've finished what you sent me to do. I surrender to you. That is what we are before him. So really, it is very important. So the question is, when he comes, what impact is it going to make in our life? What difference is it going to make? So here we go. First of all, he is the mark of our sonship through adoption. He distinguishes us from any other person. Because I've already told you, in the book of Ephesians, the scripture says, as we walk in disobedience, we are called objects of wrath. We are nothing before God. It takes only the grace of God that makes us somebody. Now we call ourselves Christians because somebody shed his blood on the cross. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes in, we have the courage to stand in front of the Father and say, Abba Father, Abba Father, my Heavenly Father, because he has adopted you in the blood of Jesus. And two, he empowers us to live that new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we come to Christ, we are new. New. The newness doesn't talk about your physical nature. It's talking about your spirit that has been made whole before the Father. It is now whole before the Father. Yes, your nose is still the same, your eyes the same, but he's saying you are a new creation. Because your spirit, as God sees you, it is clean. He doesn't see any impurity, any cracking in you, because Christ has made you whole. And then he enables us to bear fruit. And then he gives us talent. So the book of Galatians 5, 22, 23, it talks about, and the question is, who doesn't like any of this, you know, fruit in the spirit? Who doesn't like any of them? Peace, joy, patience, kindness. Who doesn't like it? Even the scripture says, there's no law against this. There's no law against this. And then we're talking about the manifestation of the talent, the gift. It is the Holy Spirit who gives out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 6. It talks about, now there are varieties of gifts, but who gives them? It's the same Spirit who makes it available. So probably you're sitting here. You've been a Christian for a long time. You don't know what you're doing. You see people doing something in the presence of God. You feel like, I don't know mine. You should know if indeed you are a child of God. Because there are two things. He empowers you to bear fruit. He empowers you to manifest the gift that God has given to you. But I will encourage you in the empowerment. Please focus much on the bearing of fruit. Because if you're not very careful and you get consumed with the talent, you become puffer. And I'm sure you know many, when they receive the gift, you go to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Jesus had a conversation with some people. They were Christians. They said, we use your name to cast out. We use your name to do greater things. We use your name. And Jesus Christ said, I never knew you. Go away. So I will encourage you. Let the manifestation, the fruit bearing, be your hallmark. You see, the manifestation, that sets the ground for your Christian, that vibrant Christian life. And when that is established, any gift that comes, you're able to use it in humility. Because in the fruit there's humility. You're always patient before the Lord. So I will encourage you to engage the Lord in that. And then also, he sanctifies our soul. Remember, the very moment we come to Christ, we confess our sins, we receive Christ as our Lord, all our sins have been forgiven. In the presence of the Father, we are glorious before him. We are in that glorious moment in his presence. But our soul sanctification is a process. It's a journey. Because our soul's encounter is always here. What we see, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That is what is engaging with our soul every day. That is why Jesus Christ calls us to take our cross and follow him every day. Every day we need to die to serve. And when we do, his power, his strength continues to be manifesting in our lives. So, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've asked for forgiveness of sins, the Spirit comes in. And what what does he continue to do? He transforms our thinking. Our thinking. So the book of Romans will tell you, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renewal of your mind. What are we being renewed to? Into the image, into the wisdom, into the knowledge of God. Because that is what he wants us to abound. But in 24 hours, how many hours do you spend on the knowledge God is telling you? Increase. We know very well, majority of our congregants are students, right? Good. And majority of you, in your diverse majors, you want to increase knowledge. So most of the time, you are at the library. And at the library, you are reading your major, you know, textbook. I don't think it will sound, good. Even in the presence of your colleagues, your fellow classmates, you are a finance student. They come see you. You are reading something on fashion. It's examination time. Everybody is getting prepared. Everybody is reading, trying to get something. And they come to see you, a finance student who is talking about, you know, balance sheet, trying to see how you're going to resolve, you know, whatever thing. And then they come to see you reading magazine about fashion, people dressing, you know, wearing. How do you feel? And even how would people talk about you? The same thing applies. Renewing our mind. What are we renewing? We renew with the knowledge of God. So the question is, how many minutes do you spend on God's word? You yourself, as a Christian. The question goes to you, it comes back to me. We should renew our mind. And then he activates grace and strength. That is in Jesus Christ. For us to finish well. You can begin, but finishing well is the most important. You can begin, but finish well. You finishing well is the most important. And I pray for each and everyone sitting down here that we receive that grace and strength from the Spirit of God to finish well. You see, you just look at in this case, you're a student. You're doing your master's. You've begun. You have 2 years. You began with some people and getting to the latter stage of your study. The last semester. Let's talk about the last week of your defense. And something happens and you're not able to graduate with your mates. How do you feel? Except you want to postpone. But if you have that sense of finishing and you don't get it, I've been a student before. I know how it feels. I know how it feels. So I will never joke with you. I will never. So we need to finish well. We need to finish well. And it also enables us to love the Lord by knowing and keeping His commands. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us to do that. Without Him, we can't know Jesus Christ's commandment and walk in them. It is not possible. Jesus Christ said, when He comes, He's going to take what belongs to me and teach you. He's going to be your teacher, remind you. Without the Holy Spirit, you will never know. You'll be proud. You'll never know anything. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us understanding. And He transforms us into the full stature of Jesus Christ. He transforms us into the full stature of Jesus Christ. It is He who makes us look like Christian. He makes us look like Christ. And we are called Christians. In the book of Acts, in Antioch, the people were described, they did not go about saying, we are Christians. We are Christians. No. People saw their nature. They saw how they related to one another. And they said, wow. So it is He who makes us look like Christ. Without Him, we can't look like Christ. And then He keeps our hope in Christ alive and vibrant. Always. 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 Because this world will continue to bombard us. This world will always make us frustrated. This world, I tell you, it is unfair. This world is full of unfairness. So if you want your life to always be part of being controlled by this world, you get frustrated. Because nobody dreamt one day there was going to be a COVID, right? There was a COVID. People's life. So this world will always bring frustration to you. But in the midst of that, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your anchor that holds you, come what may, because His Spirit gives you strength and then always urges you, because you are not alone. You are not alone. So indeed, if the Holy Spirit comes, He changes the narratives. He changes the narratives. It is very, very important. Now, let's see. In the course of this, we ask ourselves, how can we be led by the Holy Spirit? How can we be led by the Holy Spirit? Which is also very, very important. Having known how we can receive Him through repentance. And then also, you see, we have experiences in the book of Acts. When the Holy Spirit fell on people, our God is not static in dealing with his children. He's dynamic. He's God. He does anything that He wants. He does anything that He wants. So He's not like fixed on one aspect of the Holy Spirit falling on His children. You go to the book of Acts chapter 2, with the disciples. They were prepared because they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. And the moment He came, the scripture talks about a mighty rising wind, right? And then fire of tongues that were separated upon them. And they began speaking in other tongues. Why? Because there were a lot of people there and they could hear them speaking in their own language. So one aspect of the Holy Spirit coming and they're prophesying. People saw joy in them. Let's move further. In the book of Acts, the same Acts, Philip, when he went to Samaria, he spoke to the people. They received God's word. The scripture says they were baptized, but they never had the Holy Spirit until they called Peter and John to Samaria to lay their hands on them before they received the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking to you so that you can check. It is possible you can be a Christian, you sit with us, you don't have the Holy Spirit. It is possible. And then also we have the experience of Cornelius and his family. Their heart was so much prepared, they invited Peter into their house. And the scripture says, as Peter began speaking to them about the good news, as he began speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them. They received the Holy Spirit even before they got baptized. Why? Because the door was open. Remember, I said, it is about repentance. It is about repentance. Sometimes to ignorance can deny us of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul went to Ephesus. There were some people. They said, yeah, we've not even heard about the Holy Spirit. We've not known Him. So, oh, then what were you baptizing? He said, we're baptizing to John the Baptist's baptism. I said, okay, but John the Baptist was talking about someone to come. And in him, that when you trust and you believe and you are baptized, you receive the Holy. The scripture says they receive. He baptized them and laid his hands on them. So you see, in diverse ways, the Holy Spirit comes to us. So if you are sitting here and you know in your spirit, because the scripture says the Holy Spirit and our spirit convinces us that we are children of God. So, if your spirit is not in tune with this, you can't be sitting here with us. But so you don't have Him. Don't be surprised. But the good news is that the doors are always open. The doors are always open. If today you will thirst for Him, you will hunger for Him, He's ready to engage with you. That is why He's God. He says the only day that you not get the Holy Spirit is when you die. When you finish your day here on earth, you are done. You finish your work. So it is very important. Very, very important. So in this case, how can we be led by Him? First of all, we need to acknowledge His presence. We need to acknowledge His presence. Jesus Christ told John Nicodemus, He said, just like the wind, it comes, blows wherever. Whosoever is born again, it's just like that. Only believe. If indeed it is with a clear conscience that you believe, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believe, and you have Him. And also, by allowing Him to direct our thoughts towards God's Logos. Remember, this Word of God doesn't change. It is standard. It's standard in Ghana. It's standard in China. It's the same. It does not, differentiate between people. So, the scripture says the Holy Spirit will teach you the things of God. He will teach you things here. So, if your thoughts are leading you astray, it's not helping you to be humble, it's not giving you that clear conscience, then it implies you're going somewhere different. Because He will always lead you to the truth. That is what He does. And then by allowing Him to consistently apply God's implanted word in your life. Remember, He is the one who sanctifies our soul. So you read the book of James 1:21. It says, by allowing Him to consistently apply God's implanted word. The more you read, it is being stored within you. And it's being used. So when He wants to teach you, when He wants to counsel you, what is He going to fall on if you don't have the Word of God in you? What is He going to use? So it is very important. Very, very important. He will change our emotions. If you are a Christian and your emotions are still not good, please talk to Him. Talk to Him. Because when He comes, He transforms everything. Even though it is gradual, but He transforms. He transforms. Why? Because He makes us grow from glory to glory. And by allowing Him to refine our understanding on relationships with God, with our family, and those around us, He refines our relationship. So if you are here, you are Christian, you have issue with your parents, you have issue with your siblings, you have issue, and you don't see anything wrong, there's something wrong. If you don't see anything wrong, there's something wrong. You need to make amends, because that is what He does. And then also, by giving us a holistic control, we give Him holistic control of our lives. Allow Him. Don't fight with Him. Don't contest with Him. Don't contend with Him. Allow Him. That is who He is. He wants full control. So indeed, it's very important for us to, allow the Holy Spirit to engage us. So in conclusion, I read from Romans chapter 8, verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If indeed we want to be obedient, because that is why Jesus Christ said, He said, those who love Me and they keep My commandments, I and the Father will come to Him and we make our home in Him. You see, when we receive His word and we are obedient, He, the Father, they come to us, live in us. And it's the Holy Spirit who does all this. And then also from Matthew 9:17 says, neither is new wine put into old wineskin. If it is, the skin bursts and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins and so both are preserved. The old self cannot still receive the Holy Spirit. So we need a transformation. That comes with repentance. In that case, our understanding for these 2 weeks is that without the Holy Spirit, we live like any other mankind, described as object of wrath. Without the Holy Spirit. Because anything that we do doesn't bring any glory to the Father. The scripture calls it dead works. You are doing it, you might think you are doing it, but the scripture says it is dead works. But we are alive people. Why do you want to engage in something that are dead? So we need to. So therefore, let us hunger, let us thirst for him, because he is our everything. He is the everything that we need. So our conversation this morning, we're drawing the curtain down here. And the understanding is that God is always a second chance. He's a second chance God. If you have any issue with him that has not allowed you to engage the Holy Spirit, to hold on to him, if your spirit that's not, come into agreement with the Holy Spirit to convince you that you are a child of God, it implies you are missing something. We have a great opportunity. Let us come before him as we stand up at this very moment and we enter into a time of prayer.